Appreciate the effort. Folks come to study the Word. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. Sunday night, we'll start 2 Corinthians. So we'll do first on Thursday, second on Sunday night. This church began in Acts 18. Paul stuck around for a year and a half and continued on his missionary journeys. We had three that's recorded. And he's catching wind of what's going on in this church, this carnal church, this church in Corinth. So we're chapter 10 up to chapter 1, verse 10 is where we're at. Now let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. And you are the author and teacher, and I pray that you'd enlighten our minds so we might understand. And then know how, what the understanding you give us, to know how to apply it to ourselves in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Josh, Jen's second-born boy, is working, he and Ada, right, are working on a King James Bible for the Chinese. And that, you want to tell that story, how that happened? Do you want to throw that idea out there? It's really amazing how that got going. Okay, good. That's good. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Okay, Paul, goal for a church in 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same spirit. Now, the goal of that is voluntarily. Okay, you can have a tyrant and make everybody say the same thing, but that's not personal. Okay, so the goal of that is to be perfectly joined together. And of course, we're never going to bat 1,000 with each other. If we hit it 9 out of 10, 95 out of 100, that's good, that's fine, because we all got differences about some things. But the only way verse 10 is accomplished is to have one final authority in a church. Okay, you got to have one final authority. And I don't care which Christian school you write, if you ask for their statement of faith, they will usually have this statement in there: the Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Okay, I went to Grace College for 2 years. Okay, that school, that's in their statement of faith. But they don't believe it. But it's in their statement of faith. Okay, because if you keep reading, the Bible they're referring to is as originally given. So those 4 or 5 words go against the statement the Bible is, because as originally written is was. So what they really mean is the Bible was the final authority for all matters of faith and practice, but we've never seen that Bible because as originally written, because the originals are gone. So we're going to give you our opinion of what we think the originals would say if we could actually read what they say. Now, that's in reality what they believe, okay? But when they say the Bible is, well, when you say the car, you're referring to one specific car. So they should be referring to one specific book. Is, that means it's present tense. Now, that book, present tense, is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Okay? So, for all these years, I have pushed this book, the King James Bible, to be the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. And when you have a difference, if two people have a difference, you know, if the desire is, okay, we're going to each individually go to the Bible and ask God to enlighten our eyes, and if we get together, we're going to get together and discuss it like a brainstorming situation, not a I'm right and you're wrong right situation, and hopefully you come to the same conclusion, and if you don't, so what? Maturity knows when you have a proper strife and when to let things go. Okay, so like in basketball, 9 out of 10 ain't bad. In fact, that's very good. The free throw shooters in a pros, usually the best free throw shooters will be around 91 or 92%. That's good. Okay, and so in beliefs, 9 out of 10 ain't bad. Okay, and if you go to somebody's house and they have a 10-course meal, I mean, they got 10 different items there, and if there's one item you don't like, if you're going to complain about the one item you don't like, in my house, I might say, there's the door. Instead of expressing gratitude for the 9 items that you do like, and you just quietly take the one you don't like, no, thank you. I have a medical allergy against that one. You know, make up something, I don't know. But you express your gratitude for the 9 out of 10 that you do enjoy and appreciate, okay? And so with our beliefs, hey, if we got this one final authority, that's the foundation, okay? And then if that is the foundation, we always go to that for our authority for beliefs, okay? And to me, that's just being honest. The Bible is, if I believed the originals were inspired and then God lost them, if I truly believe that, I would say in my statement of faith, I believe the Bible was the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. But what we can do today, the best we have available, is going to be my opinion of what I think it says. And I'd be honest about that. But I don't believe that. God's smart enough to inspire a book and then preserve it. Okay, and so thank God for that. So that when you have a church, you have multiple authorities. I remember as a child, or a teenager, we'd go up to Wisconsin to near a place called Land of Lake, excuse me, Land of Lakes, and there was a little Bible church out in the woods there. I forgot the name. What was the name of that little Land of Lakes Bible Church, right? And wonderful, wonderful setting, beautiful in the woods and creek back there. And Regina, did you go to that church too? Yeah. Okay, and that's where some of Gothard's people went to, but Dad, you know, I don't remember as a kid, but Dad would say some of the people would walk in with 7 different Bibles and lay them out and try to figure out, you know, what it says. Well, I could have, they probably got good biceps when they, you know, with all those Bibles, but they could have, if they wanted to steal the bicep work, I could let them use this one and then walk in with one Bible, and that would still do the trick. How confusing is that? Okay, how confusing to have an NIV where it takes Lucifer out and put Jesus Christ in his place. That's confusing. 2 separate people killing Goliath. 2 different occasions. Goliath must have had 9 lives or something. Okay, and so that's amazing. So 1 Corinthians 1:10, okay, and then 11. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, is that gossip? Was that gossip, or was somebody just telling Paul what's going on? Now, notice he didn't say it was an anonymous source. That lady named Anne, her last name Anonymous, she gets credit for a lot of things. The news media constantly, our source. Well, who's the source? If the source is going to say something, they better sign their name to it. So this person, this family, okay, this house of Chloe told Paul, hey, man, them people just fighting like crazy. They got contentions going on in church. You know, their business meetings are rather entertaining. Somebody might take a Bible and whap somebody upside the head. They might argue about and have a church split because they couldn't agree on what ice cream they're going to have for the ice cream social. Yeah, there's been churches that have done that. Okay, and why do they have contentions? Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. Okay, and so back to verse 10, maturity, recognize when you should have proper strife, and it's not to yell and a screaming, it's just a disagreement of some kind. Okay, and maturity recognizes it's not that big of a deal. Okay, if you get on YouTube, there are some of these black guys that say they are Israel. And if I had to deal with them on the street, that'd be really easy to deal with them. I would say, well, okay, you're Israel. Wonderful, I'm happy for you. You're gonna fly to the Palestine? Get out of here. Go to Palestine, because God says, Israel, you Israelites, that's you, right? Go. Make you happy, make me happy. Okay? Why argue with them about it? They're making a claim. And actually, when they claim that they're Israel, they're saying they're lost. Because you want to be in Christ. That's the key. There's no Jew nor Greek in Christ. So they're admitting they're lost. And so, go. Oh, no, they're going to sit there and yell at you and cuss at you because they're holy and you're not. And that's when you just kind of walk away from it and enjoy yourself. Okay, but sometimes those guys won't let you walk away. So the house of Chloe informed Paul, hey, they're fighting in that church. They got contentions going on. And Paul said, yeah, they probably got some false doctrine too, because that's always what happens. You got contention, you got false doctrine being taught. And in verse 12, he says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, okay, so they got these cliques in the church. One says, I am of Paul. Another says, I am of Apollos. Okay, and another says, I am of Cephas. And another says, I am Christ. So they got four different factions. Now, in our culture, it would be, I'm of this Christian college, or I'm of this Christian college, or I'm of this Christian college. I'm of the homeschool agenda, you know. Get over it. Okay, so we could easily divide those up. I am of Paul. That would be probably the hyper-dispensationalist. I'm of Apollos. That's the Greekifiers, because he was trained at Alexandria. Okay, I am of Cephas. That would be the Catholics, wholly given over to the cats. Okay, the Catholics. And then I'm of Christ. That's Church of Christ. That's the water dogs. So how do we get all these different denominations now? Is simply because we got all these different Bibles. And none of them is final authority in one Bible. Prior to that, when America had the King James Bible, and that was the first Bible that was commissioned to be printed by Congress, Robert Etkin is the one that printed it. It was a King James Bible. Okay, when they had that, they had, I mean, back in those days, you can get the Congregationalists together and the Baptists and the Presbyterians. The Methodists didn't really show up until the 1800s, but you pretty much can get them together and have a camp meeting like Sheffy used to have. And they would be fine with that because their doctrine on salvation was pretty well right down the line because they all reading the same Bible. Now, some of them would add a word here, subtract a word, and they'd have a little different viewpoint there. Another one would add something. Maybe they wouldn't rightly divide something, and they'd have a little viewpoint here. But you can't do that today. Okay, in the the last great national evangelist our country had was Billy Sunday. He was a Presbyterian, but he was the last great national evangelist our country had. Billy Graham was trying to pick up the torch and started off okay, but then he started inviting anybody and everybody. And he even got recognized from the Pope and Company on a few occasions. And plus, you know, the Masons, you know, they kind of jumped on his bandwagon too. Even though some of the gospel that he was preaching, it was kind of getting subtle in there. In his early days, the gospel was pretty clear, but then as he kept modernizing, I guess you could say, then it got pretty watered down. And when people came down the altar, down that to get saved or whatever, he'd have some Catholic nuns over here, and then they'd ship all the Catholics over to them. And that's what Chuck Colston did also in the prisons. Why? It's because you can't get the churches together in these days. They're so far gone, different factions, it's just no way. Okay, now on the street, when I'm dealing with folks on the street, you know, they say what church they go to, I don't really care. I'll just keep talking to them. Okay, if they want to discuss some things, fine and dandy, no problem. Okay, so he says Apollos was the guy in Acts 18, trained in Alexandria, and Aquila and Priscilla guided him better in the scriptures. Okay, Cephas is another name for Peter, another name Simon. Okay, then I have Christ. So then he asks three questions. Is Christ divided? Well, the answer is no. Was Paul crucified for you? Well, no. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, no. Okay, and then Paul said this, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So he did baptize a couple guys, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. So that's all that he remembers. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Okay, now that, and especially the next verse. Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, if the water dogs are correct, that the grace of God is administered during the H2O dunking, okay, where you take the sinner and put him down and the grace just floods through him and then he comes back up saved. Well, then God did send us to baptize. But he did not send Paul to baptize. Now, I brought that verse up in the closing arguments when I debated a water dog years ago. And boy, did they have a conniption fit. And the reason why is they said you're not supposed to bring up any new material in your closing arguments. And I didn't bring it up any new material. He cited the reference in his closing argument, so I just jumped on that. And they were upset, yelling, I said, quiet. I said, I didn't interrupt you. I said, go back and read it. You brought it up, so I'm bringing it up. And boy, that's when a hit dog barked. And they were barking on that one. Okay, and so this one in verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Okay, but to preach the gospel. Okay, so we know that gospel is defined later on in the same letter. Chapter 15, 1 through 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that's the gospel. Okay, that's what we preach. That's what we tell folks. Now, how do we tell them? How do we tell them that gospel? Not with wisdom of words. Okay, not highfalutin, not educated, not throwing out these $50 words. And then he says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, any of us could go to a Catholic church, Methodist church, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and you will hear them say the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will hear them say that. But it shoots over the heads of the people. Why? is because they're declaring it by the wisdom of words, and they ruin the gospel. When my grandfather passed away on Dad's side, Grandpa Hoffman, both my grandparents on Dad's side got saved 3 years before they died. And when Grandpa died, Uncle Bill did the service, Dutch Reformed. And I was sitting there listening, and I was surprised he mentioned the gospel. I was pleased with that. I'm a hyper-Calvinist, but he mentioned the gospel. And I picked up on it. Man, my radar picked up on it because I'm saved. But it just blew over everybody else's head. Why? Because he gave it through the wisdom of words. And that makes of none effect. And so that's why a lot of these people are hearing the gospel, but they're not hearing it. It's not sinking in. And that's why when we witness to people, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:12, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Don't try to impress them with our vast theological terminology. Tell them they need Jesus Christ to be their Savior because they're sinners, and he died, and he was buried, and he buried, and he rose again, and that is your ticket to heaven. That's what they need to hear. Okay, and when we do that properly, then the Spirit of God can bear witness. Now, starting at verse 17, all the way through chapter 3, toward the end of chapter 3, in fact, including all of chapter 3, Paul takes a negative viewpoint of formal education. Okay, he's constantly needling at formal education. Now, he's not opposed to formal education. What he's opposed to is people thinking they're smart because I sat in a desk for a long time. Okay, that's what he told Timothy. It's heady, high-minded. Okay, and the high-minded might be because they've been smoking something during between the classes. Okay, but Paul and the Bible and God encourages us to study. And he encourages us to learn all that you can learn. Okay, you can learn in your house, at a kitchen table. You could learn in a Christian school, a private school. You could learn in a public school setting. It's kind of tougher, but you can still learn in there. Okay, you could learn at a state school, state college, Christian college, or you could learn by yourself by reading a book. It doesn't matter. If you don't have this degree, that's called a diploma, okay, and then they put the mortarboard on top of your head because you're graduating. You know what the symbolism of the mortarboard is? You're carrying the mortar for the masons because you're not thinking. You have taken what we've told you to think. The elitists don't wear the mortarboard. They wear a round one because they think they're smarter than you and I. I mean, you can never balance a stupid thing on your head anyway. You know, but that's the idea. That's the elitists mocking us populace because we're not in the know. Okay, but still, Paul is going against that philosophy. Okay, he says, okay, if you do have formal education, formal training, chapter 3, verse 18, he summarizes it this way. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Isn't it utter nonsense to think he evolved from a monkey? You see, what these people try to do is they try to constantly pass off that science is on one side and Bible is on the other. But that's not true. It's not science is on one side, it's scientism. Scientism is a religion. Science is biblical. Okay, if the true scientists want to prove the Big Bang Theory that nothing created something out of nothing, all they got to do is get a nice big jar, enclose it, and then have a big explosion so nothing can create something out of nothing inside the jar, You know, make the explosion stay inside the jar, and after the explosion, just think Earth is going to come out. And a puddle and a sexless amoeba is going to eventually have a worm, and then a fish, and then millions and millions and billions of years, it's going to be just perfectly the way we see it. Okay, prove that in the science laboratory, and I'll believe it. No, that's scientism. Scientism is a religion. It is the established religion of the public school system, and it is the religion that is funded by the federal government. And if all those monies were pulled away from it, scientism would go bankrupt. Okay, it's the conservatives that think will fund something voluntarily. So that's what Paul's starting in verse 17. And of course, this is a temptation amongst Christians. Why? Because the Greeks seek after knowledge, verse 22. So this is where you're seeing the pastors, well, this Greek word and this, and they're running to scholarship rather than to the final authority in the Word of God. They're speaking as the scribes. Okay, now as we keep reading, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Okay, so when you stand outside and preach the gospel around near Purdue or any campus, boy, they're going to get some laughs. They're going to get some belly laughs. One girl walking by me on her cell phone, and I'm standing with the scripture sign, and she said, "I think I just walked by some nuts." And I said, "At least I'm screwed to the right bolt." Okay, and so that's how it goes. Okay, they're laughing at us. I'm laughing at them. I mean, to think you came from a monkey and you think that's intelligent? Yeah, you better scratch your lice a little bit more. And boy, do they hate to get made fun of. Oh, do they hate that. And you can tell the college professor that walks by because if he sticks his tongue out, it looks like a zipper, and he'll stick his nose up in the air when you offer him a gospel tract, he won't take it. You can tell just that. Now, some of them are polite and they take it. Then you look at the garbage can, there's going to be it filled with that garbage can. So I believe in recycling when you go get them. And so, yeah, you always got to do that. You've got to recycle all those things. But preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And that's why we don't need to be ashamed of it, Romans 1:16. He says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Boy, he certainly has. Now the next verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. People say, you really look foolish out there. Thank you. And somebody with half a blue hair and half a white hair and go to the Duke game and yell and scream for the Blue Devils, that's not crazy? Okay, so now this verse changed in every new Bible. And one thing the scholars cannot stand to be ridiculed. If you criticize or challenge or question the personal opinion of an Alexandrian scholar, oh, do they get upset? How dare you question my opinion? I am godly. And my opinion's godly. And so when you question their opinion, oh, do they get upset? And they will whine and cry like little babies about Bible believers. We'll call them apostates. But they'll call Bible believers nutcases all the time. Okay, now this verse changed in every new Bible. And the scholars don't like ridicule. So Paul is saying the method of preaching the cross is foolishness. The method. I'm the foolish one preaching the cross. The cross is not foolish. The gospel is not foolish. The method that God has chosen looks foolish in people's eyes. But the scholars don't like ridicule, so all the new Bibles change it to the foolishness of what is preached. Because they don't want to appear foolish.
And I personally believe that's what April Fool's is all about. I believe April Fool's is the devil's way of thumbing his nose at God again. Because the Jewish calendar starts like the first day of spring, depending on the lunar cycle. So if you're going about the middle of March, and then if you go 14 days, Passover, when Christ was crucified, that would land around April 1st. So it's the devil's way, again, just digging, you foolish Christians, to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, you foolish nut, not to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, so they changed that verse. So if you get a new Bible, check it out, 1 Corinthians 1:21. They will take the ridicule away from the preacher and put it on Jesus Christ. Now, is that not arrogance? And who guided him to do that? Well, the devil spends a lot of time revising Bibles. And he takes out, "Get thee behind me, Satan," in Luke 4, verse 8. And then he takes Lucifer out of Isaiah 14, 12, and he puts Day Star in, or Morning Star in. Both of those are reference to Jesus Christ. Okay, and so, and then he takes out the Word of God in Luke 4 and all these other places. And then he guided them to say that Jesus Christ or what is preached is foolish in 1 Corinthians 1:21. No, God has chosen the foolish method of preaching to deliver the gospel. That's what he chose. And what the Lord is doing is he's saying, okay, there's somebody that's humbling themselves for me. Praise the Lord. I like that. God is pleased with that. That pleases him. Verse 20, it pleased God. Now, our flesh don't like it. You know, we get out there, our flesh doesn't like it. We don't like it. People laugh and make fun of us. And, you know, I'd watch so many of those guys that when they'd come around the corner, and they'd see Jan right there in front of that one bar, and they'd have these diesel trucks, and I don't know how many times she got blasted with diesel smoke. Because they're coming around, and then he'd right by her, all of a sudden, she's breathing that smoke. I'd watch that just all the time where she would stand over there. Or someone would take you know, a little bit left in her cup of pop as they're driving by. Hey, the Lord is keeping track of all those things. God's keeping a record. Okay, so it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22, key verse, one of them verses you got to circle. Underline, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay, so this is why at the colleges, the sororities, the fraternities, will use Greek letters. Do they know they're getting that from the Bible? The Bible's the standard. The joke's on them. Okay, these Greeks actually go clear back to Plato, Socrates, Aristotle. That's what it's going back to. And then Alexander the Great, where he conquered the known world, and then down at Alexandria in Egypt, he had the Museum of Alexandria, and he had a university, the most unusual university, and he was trying to make a multicultural society there in Alexandria, Egypt, and it became known for a place of higher learning. And yeah, that's where the New Bible's come from, down in Alexandria, Egypt. Okay, the Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay, and so there's the standard right there. So why do the Jews require a sign? If you go back to the beginning of the nation of Israel, Exodus chapter 4, that's when God called the nation of Israel out. They had a commanding officer, Moses. He was trained in the West Point of Egypt because he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, and so he was bringing a nation with their armies of about 600,000 soldiers, and they were leaving Egypt. And the way that God had him convince those Jews to follow him out was by signs. One was, stick your hand in there like Napoleon. You know, we'll make fun of the Masons, the Lord says. Stick your hand in like a Mason, you know, and then pull that thing back out in the leprosy. He says, stick it back in and pull it back out. It's healed. So they had the gift of healing was one sign. And then they had the first public miracle where he took water, threw it in the ground, it turned into blood. And then he had that rod in his hand. He said, throw that down, turn it into a snake. And he said, pick it back up, and it turned back into the rod. And remember that Pharaoh's magicians could do some of those things too. But yet his snake ate their snake. So that's how they began. So that's why all through the history of Israel, they're asking for these signs. And that's legitimate. That was legitimate all through there. Okay, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. And so this is the issue of the church. Okay, several years ago, long time, way past. I don't know, it's before, let's see, it's before that one. I was trying to think. I remember Dad had as a deacon at the time, the church was without a pastor. And this is probably 30 years ago. And so they had a survey in the church of, what are you looking for in a pastor? And so Dad had the papers and he showed them to me. I said, oh, wow. And it was 4 years Christian college, 3 years seminary, 4 years Christian college, 3 years seminary, 4 years Christian college, 3 years seminary. And I said, oh, boy, whoa. Why? Because that's Greeks. That's Gentiles. That's what we think. Okay, what do they always ask if somebody here is a preacher and they maybe God will bless them? What are they going to ask them? Where'd you go to school? And if a guy says Pensacola, they say, oh, PCC? No. Oh, that other one. Oh, yeah, that's where you went. That's what they always ask. Why do they ask that? Okay, because that's our mentality. Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay, people ask sometimes where I went to school. I'll say Grace College, Hiles Anderson. Got a master's through some correspondence school, a doctor through them, and School of Hard Knocks. That School of Hard Knocks was the best teachers. But them boogers, they give the lesson, the test first, and then the lesson. That School of Hard Knocks. But that's how it goes. Okay, but that's our mentality. Okay, so the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, he's not discouraging us to study. He wants us to study. What he's discouraging is don't let it go to our head. I can remember a neighbor farmer. The oldest son went to Purdue, agriculture, Purdue. Like they really know how to grow crops in Purdue. Okay, so he's going to Purdue. Okay, and of course he's getting manipulated because, you know, the ones that pray for all the grants are the big fertilizer companies. Okay, so he's going to Purdue. And he's going to align the spray on the sprayer. And he's going to show how smart he is. And when the spray comes this way, and if the sprays collide right here, then we're going to have excess, you know, herbicide right there. So he's got to try to figure that out. Because he's real smart. And his dad says, if you get them lined up that good, you're pretty good. Like, there's no way you're going to get them lined. They're going to go past each other. Just good old farmer. Common sense. He didn't have to spend all that money to figure that out. Saved all that money. And that's a problem. A lot of times young people go to college, mom and dad didn't go to college, and they think, well, I'm smarter than mom and dad. No, you're not. No, you're not. You just might be fortunate. Especially when they're paying your way. That's how it goes. Okay, and so if you have an opportunity for an education, fine and dandy. Okay, if it's formal, if you get a piece of paper, fine and dandy. But like he says in chapter 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Yeah, learn to speak good English, which I'm not good at, but learn to speak good English and then use ain't every once in a while. You know, and we Hoosiers, we can't get the we was and we were figured out. And the way I got good grades in English class in high school is I'd say it out loud, we was, we were. Was sounds right, so that's wrong. So I'd write the other one. The one that sounded right to me, I knew it was wrong, so I'd write the other one. I'd get better grades in English because we can't figure that out. Okay, so verse 20, Jews require a sign. That's a highlight verse. Got to know that one. Okay, especially when we get to chapter 14 on tongues. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. For we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Yep, I know that. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay, so when a person gets in Christ, from God's perspective, he's not a Jew or Greek or Gentile. He's not that. From God's perspective, even though we still have our distinctions. Neither male nor female, in Colossians it says, but we're still not going to have unisex bathrooms. And if somebody says, well, I think I'm a girl, I want to go to a girl, well, we're going to say, there's the door, go outside. Okay, and so get out of here. So Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, and then it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's a no-brainer. For you see your calling, brethren. How that? Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Okay, so if you go through the writers of the Bible, okay, Moses, he would have been a noble. He would have been wise as far as the world goes. So there's God, he's got that. Joshua. Well, he didn't, no schooling for him per se. He learned from Moses. Samuel, just a common judge, common ordinary guy. Amos, gatherer of sycamore fruit, had an orchard. Well, I bet when he went into town and started preaching, they say, get out of here, Amos, you country boy. Isaiah, don't really know much about him. Jeremiah, his dad was a priest. Let's see, Ezekiel, he was just common ordinary fella. And then you look at the prophets. How about the apostles? Four commercial fishermen. One tax collector, and he got out of the business after he got right, I guess you could say. One was Simon the Zealot. That would have been one of them zealots would have been like an Israel patriot type. Matthew the publican. Okay, there's a blue blood. There's a noble that got out and then started serving the Lord. The Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul, he's one of those guys that was highly educated fella. But after he got saved, got called of God, he became a tent maker. So he became odd, common, ordinary. David was a shepherd boy, writing them songs. A lot of them psalms he was writing as a teenager while he's watching lambs, the sheep. Solomon, there's a blue blood. Okay, they call them blue bloods. You know why they call them blue bloods? Because they eat off real silverware, real silver. And if you have too much silver, colloidal silver, then your skin turns blue. That's where the idea of blue bloods come from. There was one fellow that took too much colloidal silver. You can find him on YouTube. He looked like a smurf. And, he stayed that way until the day he died. I mean, blue, blue, blue. Okay, then let's see. The writers of the New Testament, Peter, fisherman, John, fisherman, James, fisherman, just common, ordinary people. That's the ones that God called. Elijah, when Elijah was looking for a replacement, where'd he go? To the school of the prophets? He went to the back 40. He found this kid plowing. And he was yanking on the yoke of oxen trying to get him go because they probably hit a quicksand hole. And it got stuck down in a quicksand hole and couldn't get that oxen out. And he said, hey, Elijah, I want you to follow me. Okay. So you'll see that now the ones that are wise, mighty, and noble that are called, they are people that humble themselves. They don't stay in that mindset. Like Moses. What did Moses do for 40 years? 40 years, the mighty. 40 years, the noble. So what did God do for 40 years? Stuck him with sheep. Had to work all that out of a system. Till he becomes common, ordinary fella. He maintained a military mindset because he was trained in that military mindset. But then he followed God's guidance in his military tactics, as did Joshua. Followed God's guidance. So verse 26, the Lord is not saying he's opposed to wise men and mighty men and noble. He's not opposed to that. He's just saying that these men need to humble themselves for me to use them. 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why did he do that? That no flesh should glory in his presence. That way God gets the credit. Okay, so we'll stop there. 29, 30, 31's got some things going back to Jeremiah. So any questions or comments?